and welcome to Tell Me Your Story.
We grow up believing that we're our bodies and that we're locked inside of them. If we could start to understand we're made out of energy and that energy can go everywhere, there's energy that moves slower than the speed of light, and that's normal sensory information that we operate in and with on a day-to-day basis.
And that's my guest. Her name is Cindy Dale. She is the author of a book that'll take us into a direction we've kind of gone into, Illuminating the Afterlife. Stay tuned.
Walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
And understanding is just half the battle, as it were. The other half is getting out there and doing stuff. I think that one of my favorite lines from an old Star Trek episode has to do with the whole issue of trust, and that having to do with you see this episode and things happen, and the machine Data, the robot, the android, he's asking, well, isn't it better not to trust? That way you don't get hurt. And the response from second in command, Riker, is no. It's better to trust. Well, that's part of it in what we're talking about as well, in terms of trusting the universe to take us where it is that we need to be. And where we are right now is where we need to be here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you so much for joining us here every Saturday at 3 p.m. I also encourage you to touch base with us via the Internet and the email. We do broadcast live, and we also stream live on the Internet at richarddugan.com. Click on the Listen Live link, and we'd love to have you tune in. Call in as well. We have a phone number that's listed there on the website, 564-1290 and 866-564-1290. My guest today, I'm really happy to have her with us. I've had her on in the past, not on Tell Me Your Story, but on other programs previous to this broadcast and this series of programs, and her name is Cindy Dale, and it is, of course, Illuminating the Afterlife, Your Soul's Journey Through the Worlds Beyond. And it's great to have you back, Cindy. Thank you for joining us.
I'm so happy to be here. It's going to be illuminating for me, too.
Well, I am wearing my headlamp. I've got it strapped onto my forehead here so that I can see where we're going, although that's not the kind of illumination you're talking about, per se.
No, but you know what? It works always. I'll just keep my eyes shut, and then I can feel the glow that you're sending, too.
Well, you know, what's funny is I did a hike with some friends of mine in a half-moonlit night at 10 p.m. Back in Arizona, we were walking back to the car, and we had gotten lost, and we'd gotten stuck out there for beyond the hours we were supposed to. We got back to the car, and we went back about 2 weeks later in the daybreak. Now, in the half moonlight, didn't trip over one rock, didn't stumble, it was perfect sailing all the way to the car.
I'm pretty impressed. I was actually just in Roatan, Honduras.
Oh, really?
I took my son down there to swim with the dolphins, and we met some other individuals who were into flashlights at night. We went tarantula hunting.
Oh, fun.
So, you know, there's a lot of things we can see by moonlight or with those flashlights, and, you know, some of them are kind of creepy crawly, so.
This is true. Well,
we have to be careful about what intentions we set, don't we?
This is true. We went back in the daylight. Bright sunshine to backtrack where we had been, tripped over every rock and stone that was there that we didn't trip over in the moonlight. Now figure
that
one out.
There we go. I kind of get it. Some of us just do things a little opposite of others, don't we?
Yeah, you have a website. It is cindydale.com, and people can certainly go there and investigate many of the things that you're involved in. And I'm going to ask you, if you would, to share with us, in addition to the book that you have written here, this particular one anyway, which is, as I've already mentioned, Illuminating the Darkness, Your Soul's Journey Through the Worlds Beyond, which we want to talk about because it's in the lines of the series that we've been doing on transitioning. And it's interesting. I was in a discussion with somebody the other day about that whole subject and how words are certain words are given certain energies, death and dying, we don't like to use here because they're so negatively charged. It's not that we're trying to hide it. We're trying to change the stigma. We're trying to change the energy around this whole process that we're all, if I'm not mistaken, Cindy, we're all going to go through.
Well, I've heard some of the tales that we're going to ascend or that the planet is vibrating so that we can all just kind of disappear. And, you know, I don't know about you, Richard, but, you know, I'm kind of not that elevated or enlightened a being yet. I'm going to have to go out the hard way, I'm afraid. So I have a personal interest in investigating death and dying and the afterlife. You know, but even more than that, what's out there? What's in the beyond that could be of use right now and mm-hmm. today? I mean, you know, there really is a very thin veil. If in some ways I don't think there's even a veil at all. It's just kind of a slide into a different way of being. So, but you know, you're right. We do give an awful lot of power to the concept of death and dying. I think it's because, of course, there's an unknown. But, you know, most of us don't like pain. So we think of dying and we think, oh my gosh, what a painful way to die. And so there's a lot of kind of real world reasons that we get scared, but then a lot of just plain question marks. And we human beings, it's kind of funny. We don't really like question marks, do we?
No, we want the answers to those question marks, but we don't want the question marks.
That's right. One of my favorite Bible verses is, "For now we see through a glass darkly, yet mm-hmm. we shall see face to face."
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of built into an amnesiatic sort of pattern just being born here.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we forget kind of from whence we came, and even if we've been through all this lifetime stuff before, which a lot of people believe that there's past lives and you know, reincarnation, you know, even if we've been here before, we tend not to remember, not certainly in full consciousness. And so we do draw an awful lot of question marks into that whole idea of death and the beyond.
Mm. By the way, normally, as most of you listening know, my wife usually joins me here in studio. Today she is not able to join us. She is in excellent health. She is just pursuing some other projects and so forth up at the house before coming back down later this evening to join me. But I know she's listening, and I'm grateful for her input and support. And I know that she and I, we've had discussions on this subject and other subjects as well. I wanted to touch a little bit upon, before we go any further, some of the other things that you are involved in. I'm actually scrolling down through the information on your website, in particular the services link, and you have a number of services dealing with, for example, brilliant, dynamic, challenging, revolutionary, and transformative Essential Energy Corporation, which is one of the areas headed by yourself, Cindy Dale, and basically you're assisting individuals and organizations with finding their true identity so as to achieve success. You quoted a Bible verse. I'll quote here one of my own, referring to perfection. And I had a conversation not too long ago with someone about this. The word perfection in that context, from my perspective, is it's not right, wrong, good, bad. It's complete. And be perfect, be complete, even as your Father, God, universal power, what have you, in heaven is complete. We are. Right at this moment, complete.
We're already complete, and I like the word whole as well,
mm-hmm.
W-H-O-L-E. We're complete. We may not always, and we certainly, maybe very seldom are we, that aware of all aspects of ourselves, you know, everything that we are and everything that we can be and are continually becoming, but we're already here. We're already who we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's just kind of an unfolding. To me, life is about that. In fact, I think it's kind of ironic, however. I was talking to a friend the other day, and I said, you know, I'm pretty much the same person now I was when I was 4. And it's just a lot of years in between I forgot who I really was.
Mm.
So, you know, a lot of kids, especially these days, I think are born with that sense of wholeness and fulfillment within themselves. I mean, you know, the baby years are a little tenuous. But kids are really out there. They're aware of how they feel and what they're all about, what they like and what they don't like. And then there's this thing called culture. It's like a big heavy hand that says, thou shalt, and, you know, we're a clan-based species, and we kind of want to fit in the tribe. So we adopt a lot of behaviors, et cetera, that may take us a little off track and kind of enable us to forget a little bit of these parts of us that we absolutely need to reconnect with to feel and act complete. But, you know, that iceberg, we see the top and the bottom is still underneath the water.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean it's not there just because we can't see anything but the top.
Right. Cindy Dale is my guest, and we're talking with her here on Tell Me Your Story. I want you to stay with us as we dialogue more about some of the other endeavors that she's involved in. We'll also talk more about Illuminating the Afterlife, her latest book, and we will get to more of that as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Give us a call if you'd like to ask Cindy a question. The number is 564-1290, 564-1290, or 866-564-1290, and we will be back. Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and we're here every Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, bringing you new paradigms for a new world, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices so you can make your dreams come true, whatever those dreams may be. And I encourage you to figure out what they are, find those dreams, and then put them out there, folks, because this is one of mine that you're listening to right now, is this radio program. And the radio program, we're talking here with Cindy Dale, author of Illuminating the Afterlife. Cindy, let me ask you about what is your newest paradigm these days?
Joy.
Oh.
I like that nice three-letter word. It is. It honestly is. It's joy. To me, joy contains all the other feelings as well. I mean, then within joy, you can have a moment of fear and a moment of us being scared if you're feeling really little or sad or this or that, right? I have those moments, but they're like all those color crayons of feelings and beliefs and ways of being just, to me, add up to joy. I honestly, Richard, do feel happy almost all the time right now.
Now, there are those who say that you need to have the other stuff in the darkness there in order to really appreciate the stuff that's in the light. Do you necessarily hold to that philosophy?
I think that as soon as we're born on this planet, we enter a state of darkness. I don't know if it's really supposed to be that way or if it should be that way. We can quibble dogma and cosmology, you know, forever, but it just is that way right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it does, however, on the positive side, enable us to make some choices. I mean, I think we're here about unconditional love, but you really can't choose unconditional love unless you experience that which has conditions. You know, and then you rise on top of the conditions and can stay in a different place. Now, I kind of slip up and down on that one, you know, and even joy, I like my own definition because I can wobble a little and I can cry or have my moments of, you know, gosh, the dog ate all the food that was going to be served for dinner and I'm really mad. So those can all feed into joy. But I don't know if it's really, for me, a choice between different ways of being or feeling as much as what can we add them all up to be, and then can we live in that whole sort of place. We talked earlier about wholeness and completion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how are we going to expand ourselves so that no matter what we're doing and going through, we're constantly choosing whatever your key word is, harmony, joy, peace, unconditional love, and keep transmuting, you know, kind of like reframing the negative to become that.
Mm.
So back to your original question, do we have to experience the bad? I don't know. I'd like to believe that we don't, but we do.
Right.
On this planet.
We don't
so
have to, but the reality is that is the process that for whatever reason the society has agreed, social agreement, that this is what we're going to do.
We have a group
until we break the agreement.
We're living in it.
Right, unless we make a new agreement.
Exactly, and I think a lot of people are trying to do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think people are working internally and they're joining hands externally to say, hey, you know, we could rethink some of this. That years and years ago, many people have heard of this particular undertaking, but the TM, Transcendental Meditation people, said, okay, for one day in D.C., we're just going to, like, think good thoughts and pray. Well, there was a substantial decrease in crime and troubles and problem. And that's a very small percentage of the population affecting in such a big way.
Well, I know that coming up here in the next couple of weeks, we are going to have a woman by the name of Lynn McTaggart on, who is involved in the intention experiment, and that ties into kind of what you're talking about. And although these people weren't necessarily connected with anyone else around the planet, but they were connected with each other.
Absolutely, and I'm familiar with some of Lynn's work in terms of of explaining that we're all interconnected in a great field, a field of light, and that DNA itself is produces biophotons or little particles of light, and, you know, that really our health is about how much light and what type we open to versus how much darkness we stay in, substantially causing, you know, cancer, heart disease, and all our different problems. So we are all interconnected, whether we want to open our eyes or close our eyes to that fact. And, you know, sometimes it really does only take one person, and any of us can be that one person to send a critical message, a thought that can be received by so many. You know, we don't have to be on radio or television or be a politician to affect people in a really grand and beautiful way. Through the connection, it's really more the intensity of the intention and maybe the beauty of it that produces the greatest change.
You know, I reconnected with you through a website that I don't like to use the word, I came across accidentally. There are none, so ergo, through the publisher Sounds True, T-R-U-E. And I found that so fascinating, that website, and talked with one of the gals over there, and then suddenly, next thing I knew, I get an email from you saying, oh, it's been a long time, you've had me on your program before, and I'm going, I have? Because it had been so long for me. My mind had gone, but we have Cindy Dale on the phone today. She's recognized worldwide for her accomplishments as an author and intuitive healer. I want to talk to you a little bit about that. But also as a speaker and an authority on the chakras, you also have a company called Life Systems Services, offering intuitive-based healing, a destiny coaching. I like that. And then a corporate consulting. Tell me a little bit about this intuitive healing that you are involved in, because a lot of folks these days are really wanting to get their health, you know, and many of them are usually in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, when we should have been thinking about this in our teens and our 20s so that we could stay focused on our purpose in life rather than our healing and our health, I should say, so that we would already be healthy, we would be well, and our systems would be functioning normally.
Exactly. And you know, there's really only three areas that people who call me ever bring up. There's relationship, big, important part of life, maybe the key. There's purpose or work, another really important aspect of being a full and true human being. And then there's our health, which is how we feel physically and how we're able to function in the world. And, you know, so Richard, when I'm working with people, I can't really separate those three categories, because how we feel about ourselves or how we are in relationship or maybe what mom and or dad did with us or to us even a long time ago is going to impact our health. And, you know, in the same way, if we've got a biochemical disorder, we might be really grumpy in relationship and somebody's not going to really like us, so we're not going to have great relationships. Or if we're really sailing on our purpose and in that place of really excited to get up in the morning, gosh, and, you know, feeling on purpose, our health's going to be better. So when I work with people, I use my intuition. I always, to be really honest, pray before I work with somebody and ask, I use the word God, God to set up a filter system so that, like a doctor is supposed to do, I receive information and share energy or information that moves in a way that's going to be helpful and at least not harmful. And I just use my own innate natural intuition to kind of take a look at what might be going on in somebody, around them, what factors might be impacting them, so that they can then come up to, you know, can create a very practical plan for improving their health. I mean, frankly, any healer would be mistaken in saying that we do the healing. I don't do the healing. I can provide some insight, maybe some direction, and, you know, maybe just me looking at something that's going on in somebody, a cancer or a financial issue, et cetera, might help to shift that. Yeah. I think care makes a big difference. Information can actually provide healing and serve as a healing apparatus. But it's not my job to do the healing or the change. It's just to support that person in doing what it is that their inner self, their spirit, or God's spirit, you know, can bring about.
You're a facilitator.
I'm a facilitator.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk a little bit about the chakras. One of the books that I read many years ago, it was, and interestingly enough, it ties into the one word you love the most, joy. Joy's Way was the first book I ever saw a diagram of other than the seven main chakras of the body. I saw these images, these pictures of light emitting from joints and fingers and toes and knees and many other places. Some would say, well, yeah, we have light emitting from your entire being. So, you know, what's with chakras? But this was kind of focusing on, there were minor energy points on the body.
Exactly. And, you know, my first book, New Chakra Healing, came out, gosh, I don't even know, 15, 18 years ago. You know, yeah, I was like four at the
I
time.
See. Okay.
Which is really advanced. And, you
Prodigy.
Know, and yeah, and I talked about a basic 12 chakra system, 7 in the body and 5 right outside, and then 20 other spiritual points as well. And one of the chakras that I have worked with actually connects into the body with 32 different secondary points. So you know what? We're almost like one big mess of a chakra system. And oh my gosh, the feedback I got, you can't do that. There's only 7 chakras and this and that. And it's like, says who?
You're disrupting my box.
Hello. And mm-hmm. It seems that everybody's quoting a man named Avalon and whatever, who wrote quite a few decades ago, who mm-hmm. Said, hey, you know, this is the Hindu system. Well, guess what? I've studied the Hindu system. There isn't a Hindu system. There's one Hindu system that says that there's 7, and even they sit around and quibble if up in the forehead there's 2 or 3 or there's this cow or there's this knot or whatever up there. But really, if you look at it, there's anywhere from a 4 chakra system to 12, and that's just in the East Indian take. And other cultures say, oh, there's 8, there's 9, you know, some people say there's 42. And so, you know, in the end, we've got to pull back and say, does it really matter what the number is? I mean, we have a lot of chakras that are just spinning wheels of light that in my world, and I like to study more the quantum physics perspective on this, a chakra converts fast energy or psychic energy to slow or sensory and back again. So they're subtle energy mechanisms, but they connect with the physical body and the physical world. So they take these different kind of really fast domains or realms or planes that we really do live in, and they help us bring them down to earth.
Let me ask you the difference between chakras and auras.
Well, I love that question, and I know that we could always say at some level there's not much difference. However, we are systematized, and it's good to have systems and keep the toaster, you know, with the with the bread in it, and the microwave doing something different, and the etc. So we like to separate. Chakras to me are the energy bodies or centers that regulate the inside of us. So what's inside? Thoughts, feelings, body, organs, etc. The auric layer or the auric fields regulate the outside of us, therefore how we relate to the environment. And there really is some different frequencies between these two. In general, the chakras, which are lower frequencies the farther down they are in relation to the body, and in higher frequencies the farther up we go, are electromagnetic. And they work with, you know, kind of fairly, with or photonic as well. And, you know, they work with both electrical and magnetic energies. The auric field tends to be more magnetic. So it's almost like our body is, in general, you know, kind of electromagnetic, but we've got a lot more electrical inside of us and much more magnetism outside of us.
Interesting. I often wonder sometimes if the Earth herself, himself, itself, has that kind of aura. And when I think of that, I think of the aurora borealis that people will see up in the northern, as they call the northern lights kind of thing. I'm wondering, Is that a chakra emanation from the earth, or is that an aura, or is that just something sparkling in the atmosphere?
Well, no.
Charged by the sun.
A lot of people say the earth does have chakras. They might call them vortexes. I'm just wrapping up a 500-page book. In fact, it's wrapping me up. I'm pretty much going 6 feet under pretty soon.
Went from four to transitioning
you got it.
In a matter of seconds.
You got it. It's a great book. It's called The Subtle Body, and it really is an encyclopedia of the energy anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
I've done tons of research for it. I mean, lots of science. It's really rich. But I concentrate in one focus area in the book on the fields. And I found that I couldn't just talk about the human fields as like the auric field, that I inevitably had to also address the fact that the earth generates fields, electrical fields, electromagnetic, magnetic fields. There's cosmic fields of energy that are constantly hitting us. And there's a number of researchers who have found that there are lines on the earth, many different kinds. Most people are familiar with the idea of ley lines. The Australian Aboriginals call them song lines, but there's other types of energy lines also that are crisscrosses of electro and magnetic energies that affect us, that affect plants, that affect animals. And where they crisscross, you could really say there's a vortex or a chakra.
It makes me think of the latitudinal and longitudinal lines on a globe. We're talking with Cindy Dale, and we're going to travel around the globe a little bit more here as we continue on our program. Cindy Dale, the author of Illuminating the Afterlife, will continue here on the program. CindyDale.com, and we will give out more of that information, website, and all the good stuff. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. If you have a question for Cindy, give us a call, 564-1290 or 866-564-1290. Stay tuned. We have more coming up here on this program, and we encourage you to check out the website as well. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and we're talking with Cindy Dale. She is the author of Illuminating the Afterlife, and I am going to go over here to her website, which is CindyDale.com. That's, by the way, that's CYNDIDAL.com, and you can find out all kinds of good stuff about her and the work that she's doing. Stay with us. We have more to come here on Tell Me Your Story. RichardDugan.com is my website. Don't go away. Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and you're listening to a program that brings you new paradigms for a new world. We're talking with Cindy Dale, and we've been chatting a lot about all kinds of different things. We're going to talk a little bit about transitioning as is elicited from the words of Cindy Dale in her book, Illuminating the Afterlife. And it's interesting that you refer to it as the afterlife in one sense. I mean, obviously, it's a common term. Everybody uses it, just like they use death and dying and passing away and the great beyond, or however people choose to phrase it. Why did you choose the afterlife?
Well, because, you know, when people use the word death, there really truly is this spin and finality on it. And in many ways, there's really no such thing as death. So I'm stressing that question that many times we sit around and ask ourselves, like, what is afterlife? And, you know, I almost, like, hate to say, you know, what the real answer is, because then people may not read the book and get to the very end, but it really is life. It's just more of whatever it is we're doing now.
Well, and
it
I don't
really
want to give
is.
Away either, but the butler did it. That's all there is to it.
It's always the butler with the candlestick in the...
In the kitchen.
Or I thought it was Professor Plum. I played that game too.
So when we talk about illumination of the afterlife in this context, it's more in terms of gathering, because you made reference to information in reference to healing. Sometimes that can actually do even more than trying to do all kinds of energy work and so forth, that maybe that's what that person needed, was just that information, and it unlocked something that they didn't realize was even locked.
Exactly. So how many of us are kind of under this spell, or you could even say a curse, you know, that that suggest that the afterlife is going to be something either really heroic or heavenly, or, you know, you might go the other way. If you don't act good now, you know where you're going, and it's down south. I mean, I'm a blue-eyed blonde. When I was growing up, I always got stuck in the Sunday school pageants as an angel. I mean, there I was with the big stiff wings and the white little outfit, and I had to stand there and sing, and I really don't like to sing. And I really hate just standing there, and I wanted, like, a really cool part. Like, I wanted to be the bad guy. I wanted to be, you know, Pontius Pilate once in a while, or something, you know, somebody with some teeth on them.
Mm.
And every single time I had to stand up there, I thought, if this is what heaven is like, I am so not going there. So for some of us, we don't want to go that direction either, so you're kind of stuck. And so from a really early age, I was very intuitive, very psychic. I could see and hear and talk to ghosts and angels, and I saw some not good things kind of floating around the room once in a while, too. I thought, you know, there really isn't this thing called death. I mean, you know, if these beings and people are all supposed to be like up in heaven or down in hell and not here, somebody has left the window and the door open the wrong way. And, you know, so I think that just illuminating or sharing some information that talks about what really does happen after we die, where do we go, what are some different perspectives on it. There's a lot of books on it. You know, we've got the Egyptian books of the dead and the Tibetan book of the dead. So obviously we've always been concerned as a human race with this question. Why are we concerned? Not just out of fear, but is there some information available kind of once we get to the beyond that we can beg, borrow, steal, and just bring into the here and now and use to make life much more palatable and maybe even enlightening?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting how certain areas of our lives are kind of compartmentalized, and even as you've stated in the three areas, when you do the types of intuitive healing that you do, that they're not separate, they are intertwined. But it seems as though people will look at your education or different places like this and saying, okay, you go this way and you do this, and you can broaden your horizons. But for when it comes to the spiritual life, it, depending upon what you were born and raised into, so for some reason, that area is a box for some
people. Absolutely. We are boxed, and we're told it's this way or it's this way. Instead of, you know, there's an awful lot of choices available to us even when we die. I had an interesting experience. It was really, in many ways, a near-death experience, of which I've had a few, in which I got to go through what I believe is going to happen when I die in this lifetime. And I left my body in a very conscious state, and I hovered up in the dark, and I could see that I could go through these different tunnels and what I call planes of light, you know, or different kind of learning areas. I could come back, as the Hindu talk about, through this kind of wheel and, you know, return right away. I could go be a ghost. I could be the wind. I could kind of do a lot of different things. And I just turned it over to God. I said, you know, you pick. And boom, I was hit in the back with this really dark black energy, which I've come to believe are kind of my own issues that I need to work through, which is why I'm back. But taken into this state of complete completion. There's no other words for it. And as life and death would have it, I was told I wasn't done and I needed to return, to which I said, no, but, you know, the bigger guy voted and I was ousted and returned. And I, as soon as I landed back in my body, was told, now you're going to have your 10 years of darkness. And I said, huh? I mean, nobody told me about that before I came back. And I, in fact, did have 10 extremely hard, challenging years that I would never, at this point, now that I'm through them, trade in for anything. Because I learned so much, because I became so much more than I had been previously, because I learned that in and through darkness there really is light. And I believe that in that process of returning from the beyond back into the here and now, I brought with me some wisdom, maybe a lot of wisdom, but it didn't mean anything until I grounded it and I did it and I used it to operate in a different way and to react to life in a different way, and then even get to the point where I was a little more proactive in life. And so that experience alone taught me that there's very little difference between life and death, and that they need to interrelate, that maybe we need to almost live in the cusp or on the edge between the two of them.
That's, you know, when you start talking about those kinds of things, I just sit here and marvel at the folks we've had on this program and the experiences that they've had. I never think of myself any lesser because I've never had any of those, at least that I'm conscious of. But the thing is that there's so many people out there that they've had them. They're not sure what to make of them.
No, you don't know. That's in many ways why I wrote Illuminating the Afterlife. In fact, I really wrote the book because we're pretty close now still to September 11th. A few mm-hmm. years ago when the September 11th happened, a couple days before, I was actually up in the air. I had no idea what was to come, and I heard a voice, who I believe to be God, saying, you need to write a book about death. And I was really ready to settle into my Nora Roberts trashy novel, and it was kind of not something I really wanted to do on top of it. And I said, okay, well, after my novel, and maybe a lot of other experiences. And it's like, no, you need to write a book about death. So I took a few notes, and then a few days later, the two World Trade Centers were bombed and a number of other really horrible things happened. That morning I was actually on the phone with three different people in New York. One woman stayed home to take our phone call or else she would have been probably in the World Trade Center. And so I was deeply affected, as many people were, by that. And after that I started to actually receive more contact with people who have died or who are already in the afterlife, and work with a lot of different people. In fact, in one stage for about 3 months, a number of couples would drive to see me from Fargo, North Dakota, because their young children, their teenagers, had committed suicide. So I was almost exposed, as if I was on some kind of a training path, to a number of different situations where I had to open up and stretch my own mind and intuition to receive guidance and information about the afterlife. So, you know, what I bring forth in the book, I do with true humility. You know, it's what I've learned, it's my perspective, but, you know, all any of us can really offer our own perspectives. And it's my hope that it gives people, it's really a different take, frankly, mm-hmm. you know, a different way of looking at what's to come and how they can be right now as well.
Right, and that's what we bring to the table, is all of these different points of view, these different perspectives for you to take a look at and take a listen to and to check out at the website, richarddugan.com. We have all of the interviews that we've done since September the 8th, 2007. Still sounds strange. It's been a year, and we've been doing this program, and as we shared before we started the program, I was going, well, I guess last week was our 53rd show, and this is 54, and one day I'll say, and this is our 796th program, and I'm getting really tired. But this is a lot of fun, having you and other folks on to share these different points of view, and that's what we need to, because not everybody sees it the same way, and you may strike a chord with someone out there with something that you say that it wasn't struck with anybody else they talked with.
Exactly, or it may not. But then that also enhances somebody's ability to say, well, this is what I believe rather than this.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating stuff. Illuminating the Afterlife is the current book that we're talking about here by Cindy Dale. CindyDale.com is the website. And, of course, following this program, you'll be able to hear this interview again if you'd like, or share it with family and friends at RichardDugan.com. And that's RichardDugan.com. Email me. I'd love to hear from you. Richard@RichardDugan.com. And you can also go to the blog, which is linked at that same website, and put your comments or suggestions on the blog that we've had up for, I guess, a few weeks, and interesting comments that we've received thus far. So we encourage you to participate in this program in that fashion, and check out the information at the various links that we have on the website, because, again, we don't have all the answers, but I figure, you know, Cindy, maybe by the time we do reach that 763rd program, maybe we will have given all of the answers, because, you know.
And then you can start over.
And we start all over again. And now we're back to program number one. But this is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and we're talking with Cindy Dale. We're going to take another short break, and we'll come back in just a moment. I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you very much for joining us. Stay with us. We've got more to come, and we'll be telling you about next week's program as well and future guests. I'm very excited about folks who we've got coming up in the coming weeks and months here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Cindy Dale is my guest once again. Illuminating the Afterlife. That's the title of the book. And we'll also mention that other book that you've written too, Cindy, in just a moment. Stay with us. Tell Me Your Story. It's coming right back. This is Tell Me Your Story. Please tell me your story. Go to our blog. Email me. Let me know what you're thinking. Let me know what's happening in your life and how, if this program has transformed your life in some way, if our guests have touched you in some way, or maybe they made you cranky. I didn't want to hear that. And you know, sometimes, Cindy, that's kind of what happens. Cindy Dale, our guest here on the program, they'll hear something. I didn't want to hear that. I know you think I needed to hear that, but I didn't. I didn't want to hear it. Don't ever say that again. And it's like, I'm sorry, but it's already been said. It went into your ears and into your brain, and there is no retrieving it. You cannot delete it.
My children say things like that to me all the time. It's homework time. I did not want to hear that.
Don't.
Nonetheless, no, we don't make all the rules, do we?
No, we don't. I worked in religious broadcasting for 15 years, and that was one of the things I heard. The word never comes back void, you know, and once it's out there, and I thought, well, okay, I know what you're talking about, but the reality is anything you say to someone else that is heard, it goes out there, and it's going to have an impact. It's going to have an effect. And that's why it's so important to be careful what you say.
It is, and to stay in a good place within yourself, because then even if you kind of say things a little fudgy or it doesn't quite come out right, the tone carries. Tone carries more information, I think, than the actual words do.
Well, I know that, that's like the word or words become charged and supercharged with that energy, whatever the tone is that you're delivering that phrase.
Absolutely. I mean, think about, well, I have a son who's now 20, but there was about 5 years that he never did much more than grunt. So, I mean, really, there's about 250 different grunts. And I could distinguish, by the time those 5 years were up, I could distinguish the difference between grunts. One was a hunger grunt, one was a leave me alone, what one was. You tell me how I'm feeling because I'm not going to tell you how I'm feeling. You know, and if I could just write a book about it, you know, most parents in America would probably really get it, but it would be a really boring book because it's just grunt, grunt, grunt. So, you know, until there's a sound associated with it, you can't figure out what it means.
Yeah. Well, and we still do that to this day. Every one of us does it from time to time. You know, some of us, it'll be the Marge grunt. You know, or whatever it might be. You'll hear the little noises coming from across the room from a husband or a wife or a child, and it's like, oh, here we go.
Yes.
We've got drama once again.
There's a radio personality in town who always talks about the look. But he seems to think those only come from women toward men, you know, when they're kind of in trouble. It's not that kind of look, not the fun kind of look.
No.
The look.
Right, exactly. Like, it's the evil eye or the...
You got it.
It's not always the tiger's eye either.
No, it's not.
Well, now you also said that you are wrapping up a 500-book treatise or more to the point, encyclopedia, if you will.
I would call it more like a dissertation,
okay.
To be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody should give me a degree for this one.
You may get one.
A degree of something. I will.
And preferably not posthumously.
I will put it on my own card. I'm really actually excited, Richard, about this book. It's called The Subtle Body, and it's an encyclopedia of the energy anatomy. And it's really rich with scientific facts, illustrations, models that describe the energy channels, such as the meridians and the nadis, the energy bodies, from including the chakras in the Jewish Sephiroth and from many different cultural perspectives, as well as the different energy fields, not only emanating from the human being, but from the earth. So the different kinds of fields that affect us. So it's in 500 pages, kind of what has human history taught us all the way up to contemporary science expressed about the subtle energy. Of course, subtle energy creates physical energy. So it's really a discussion of and a presentation of what creates reality.
Wow. That's phenomenal. Now, is this book available yet, or are you still finishing
up? It's going to be January of 2009 through Sounds True. So I really do encourage people to look for it, not just because it took the last year of my life, so my life blood is actually in it, but because I really think it's a one of a kind.
She is getting transfusions, folks. She's okay.
I will be.
Well, we look to have you back again next year to talk about it, because I think it would be fascinating to pursue this whole thing, because the thought that just came to my mind as we're coming to the last few seconds of our program here is, when you can deal with the energies that are coming out of your body through the chakras, the lesser chakras, et cetera, but then when you start merging your energies with someone else in work, in whatever collaborative types of efforts that you're in, boy, then you've really got something. And I'm hoping that the book talks a little bit about that too. I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and look forward to having you back again.
Thank you. Same with me.
And please stay on the line. We're going to chat a little bit more before we finish. I'm Richard Dugan, and this is Tell Me Your Story. And next week is going to be extraordinary. I know, Cindy, you know this woman, PMH Atwater, is going to be joining us, and we're going to continue our discussion more in depth into the subject, As You Die. What is that process? What is going on? And there are people such as yourself, Cindy, who have had these near-death or out-of-body experiences, what have you. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. Until next Saturday with PMH Atwater here on Tell Me Your Story, I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you so much for joining us. Please check out our website, richarddugan.com. Email us. Check out Cindy's book, Illuminating the Afterlife. And until next Saturday, love to all, and have a good week.